listening to what Paul was sharing, and it made me think about how in the Word, I believe you find it both in Isaiah and Ezekiel, proclamation that says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." And certainly that is representative of the times and where we're at. So I've been before God praying about what to speak on tonight, but it was called upon to fill in for Dr. L. So before I go any further, Dr. L was scheduled to be in the pulpit, and he's home with a stomach bug. He's been wrestling it for several days now. And he called upon me to take his place. So with that, let's pray for him, okay? Father, we do. We pray for Dr. L and Peterson. And Father, we uphold him before you right now. Susan also. Whatever it is that he is wrestling with God in his health, he calls it a stomach bug. He's a doctor, so we'll go with what he's diagnosed it to be. But in that, he is one of our elders, Father. And he is one that labors in your word, and his testimony is such that he reflects you working in him and through him. I'm sure it's more than a stomach bug. And so we pray in Jesus' precious name and extend forth our hands in faith to ask that you would completely heal him as we're praying right now, and that you would purge him and his house of the germs that are involved and any spirits that are involved. And then we ask you to protect Susan so that she doesn't pick up or succumb to what has been troubling him. And we ask for his healing and deliverance as we pray, believing in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Okay. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Sunday morning, in the opportunity to bring an offering, I used something that I'd used last week in a message that we did at the Wednesday afternoon study. And I used the lyrics from a song that I recently been learning. And in the chorus of the song and the essence of the song, the writer of the song gave his testimony for what was behind the song. And I'll give you the story to kind of back it up so you can understand it. He was a musical leader, worship leader in his church. And there was a couple, I'm not sure if they were in leadership or not, but they had a son that was in the hospital that was deathly under a real sickness that was threatening his life. And they got a call from the parents, from the father in particular, and the word was, please have the church pray because we've been informed by the doctors that are on staff that they don't think our son is going to make it through the night. And as the chorus worship leader received this message, he began to pray and to think, and he had this rise up from within him by the Spirit of God. And the song is, I think the title of it is, I Raise a Hallelujah. I define this Sunday morning, and I'll define it again right now. And I've done this many times in the past, but I think it's really important to understand that the word hallelujah is a Hebrew term. It's Hebrew in and of itself. And it's defined as if when you break it down, I praise you, Yahweh. I praise you, Yahweh. Hallelujah. I praise you, Yahweh. And in this worship leader's response, what rose up in him and began to proceed from his lips was a hallelujah. And he began to praise God. And he began to praise God, and he began to put to words what was happening in the confession of his spirit. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of the enemy. The enemy being the threat against his child. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of the enemy. And then the next words that were voiced. And I want you to listen carefully to each one of these as I bring them forth. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Louder than the unbelief. Notice, louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. The weapon is a melody. The hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. The weapon is a melody. And then I raise a hallelujah. What's he doing? He's praising God in the face of the news. I raise a hallelujah. All heaven comes to fight for me. I sing a song in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the king is alive. How many of you know that song? Okay, or have heard it? My point being that in the face of the reality of the news, of this child facing death from sickness, this man began to lead his church in response of praise and prayer. Raise a hallelujah in the presence of the enemy. And he raised a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. That's the one I want to attack right now. The enemy will join in with our flesh, the natural man with natural thinking, and will project news that declares unbelief and cultivates unbelief. And our God is bigger than all that. Yes. And our God has given us words to build faith. Hebrews 10:17. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing how? By the word of God. Pastor Stevens preached a message years ago. It's been classified as one of the hallmark messages of our ministry, called Throne Words. Throne Words. Words from the throne. And in it, he's quoted, I don't know how many scriptures, but in essence of that message that has been a hallmark message for us to consider, and I put it out there, if you haven't heard it, to go to the archives and get a hold of it. Throne Words. Words from a throne, words that declare and point to and equip us with God's thoughts and God's strategy for how to deal with whatever it is that may be coming against us. And he quotes scripture after scripture as the Spirit is moving, that are scriptures that we would embrace and do well to learn and to appropriate in the battles that we face. And essentially, in the summarization of that Hallmark message, he brings out Matthew 4:4, where Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given for inspiration and instruction and reproof for us to study. And I'm not quoting it exactly, but the idea is there, again, that we study the word to be equipped with the weaponry that we need. And part of our weaponry is that we raise our praises, our confession of the word to come against what the enemy is bringing against us. I shared this afternoon at the study, and I'll share it here tonight. You would be shocked if you read the statistics of the studies that have been done as to how few Christians study the Word of God. Read the Word of God, let alone study it. Okay? Thank God we're in the midst here and in a ministry where we are taught well the full counsel of the Word of God. Because it's the application, the appropriation of what God says that equips us as warriors to fight the battles that we're up against. And one of the key components of our weaponry is to speak the word, to stand on the word, to sing the word, and to sing praises before our God and to our God in the face of the enemy to overcome him. To raise a hallelujah, I praise you, Yahweh, a hallelujah in praise that is louder than the unbelief. Louder than the unbelief that is projected by the atmosphere. Louder than the unbelief that is projected by the enemy that comes against us. I said it Sunday morning. I'll say it again. The enemies in the form of the Philistine giants that come against us. To praise the Lord. To, as Pastor Moore confirmed and brought out in Sunday morning's message, to, like good King Jehoshaphat, to put the singers out front and to let our response be to praise God. To, in Psalm 103, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. To beseech him for the things that we're facing to come against them. I'm sharing this in an exercise of faith to perhaps help and set, not perhaps, to set the stage and to cultivate an expectation of God. Psalm 62:5. How many times have you heard me say this one? That our expectation is to be of God. We are to let the Holy Spirit cultivate within us an expectation of God. And I put it out there to you as the body of Christ that if you don't have an expectation to see God move, I challenge you to let the Holy Spirit work with your spirit to cultivate and establish an expectation. An expectation that is such that when you come to church, that you're reminded that when I get to service and I sit in a service and I come under the pulpit ministry and the covering of the pastors that God has established for me, that God is going to move and great things are going to happen. To have an expectation to have God move in such a manifestation of visitation, not just once in a while, but every time that we meet. Because we do live in a time of cultural relativism. We do live in a time when the culture is departed from God. We do live in a time where we're at a stage and the progression of departure from God has brought us to a place where those demons are, in fact, coming back in. One of the highlighted emphases of a new writing by Jonathan Kahn is on this very subject that Paul referenced. I don't know if he realizes this or not. But there's a book out in a series that Jonathan Kahn has wrote called The Return of the Gods. And in The Return of the Gods, he goes out and draws a parallel of how the gods of the Old Testament times going way back had influenced the culture up until the time of the coming of Jesus and had possessed Israel and possessed the Roman Empire as well, and the Greeks. And the gods of the former times were possessing the people and even the nation of Israel at that point. But just brief response and summarization, I have this expectation of what he might be going into, is that Jesus and the gospel was able to resist and exercise the influence of those gods. And if we've been repossessed and those gods are come back and are at the place where they've accelerated and progressed to what I'm thinking about right now and Paul's made reference to, it's a wicked and evil time, but yet we have Almighty God. And again, the gospel can repel what is taking place. But not just, we have to be careful to understand that we need to be believers that are plugged in and abiding and serious in doing business with the Lord to the point that as we step forward in who we are and learn of who we are in the new creation, that we take on in our relationship and the possession of what Jesus has for us, that we take on not just a form of God, lacking the power thereof, but rather we take on who we really are in Christ, demonstrating that power. Because that's what it's going to take to deal with everything that's going on and is before us and may be coming down the pike, if you will. Pastor Moore's overseas, and we have a couple services coming up where different men in the ministry are being called upon. Pastor Scott's scheduled for Sunday service. He's praying about who's going to be taking the service a week from Sunday. And there's a possibility that I may be back in the pulpit in at least part of that service at that time. And I have been before God, and I want to plant the seed for consideration and prayer. And we'll wait upon God to see what God wants to do. But I believe that at the end of that service, we're going to have an opportunity and a call for people to come forth for healing and to have their prayers prayed for by the elders. Because I believe that God's desire is to manifest what I'm talking about. And so having planted that seed, I ask that you pray because we'll to see what God is going to do. And I plant the seed that we may be go to God in prayer to give opportunity for the Holy Spirit to build within us an expectation and to build faith for it. Because nothing happens without prayer. And we want the manifestation of what God wants. That's my desire to see that happen. But I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. The weapon is a melody. And I raise a hallelujah, and all heaven comes to fight for me. I'm pausing because I'm just thinking of where I can go. Not I, but the Spirit within me wants to go. And I'm thinking right now in that I've planted the seed of possibility of what may take place here in a week from Sunday. I'm thinking, okay, I've shared before and I'll share again. Just quickly, years ago, God gave me the challenge through the Holy Spirit and a desire to believe Him for the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be manifest at times as He would lead. I wrestled with this. I've at different times have focused on it and gone forward with it in self-abandonment before the Lord. And God has been faithful to back up what He's put in my heart. On Philippians chapter 3, you have an exhortation from Paul that comments and brings in and defines that as we serve God and abide in Him, He puts within us His desires, His will and desire for us. Then those desires that He puts in us become the desires of our heart. And as we respond to Him and draw near, those desires that have come from God in Psalm 37:4, He gives us. Psalm 37:4, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our heart. And if we commit our ways to Him, He brings it to pass. For me, before God personally, in the office that He's established me in, this is one area where the desire of my heart, I believe, has come from Him. And I had this confirmed, I'll give you another area of scripture that I've shared in the past. I had this confirmed at a pastor's conference about 7 years ago. And Pastor Scheller was speaking, and he was reading, and he was addressing a whole group of pastors. It was a pastor's retreat and conference at the time. And he was reading from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 3 and 4. And there in Ezekiel 34, 1 and 2, Isaiah was addressing the shepherds of Israel. And he was bringing an indictment against the shepherds of Israel. And in the indictment, he listed, I think it was 5 different things that they were not doing, that they should have been doing. And in verses 3 and 4, 2 of the things that the shepherds were not doing were they were not ministering to the diseases of the body, and they were not healing the sheep. And God used that to speak to me and just confirm and cement, if you will, in the establish a or concretely establish within my soul the desire and the responsibility to, as a shepherd, be used, be available to be used by God for that very purpose. Because I realized as the Spirit was speaking that it was an indictment, but in the indictment was also God's speaking to what the shepherds should and are responsible for. So the elders are listening and the pastors are listening to this message. I want to encourage you to take that passage into consideration with what I'm saying. Now, having said all that, I'll go down a little bit of a sidetrack from where I started out and was focusing on as far as emphasis, but you need to understand God is still in the business of doing the miraculous. God is still in the business. Jesus is still a healer. He always has been a healer. He always has been. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I could spend the rest of the evening speaking on different aspects of what I'm speaking on, but what I am going to do real quickly is just go into some of the fruits of being available that God has done in terms of the miraculous when it comes to healing and deliverances, okay? And so if you will, real quickly, I remember very early on, way back in the Bible Speaks in Burnt Hills on Lake Hill Road, first time I moved in this direction. Prayed for a brother who's still with us. He's going to another branch ministry right now. Called him out. He was sick at the time, was healed instantly in the service. There's a couple in this church right here tonight. Prayed for, had an issue of a barren womb, and desire to conceive children. God healed that situation. And we have a family with grandchildren that are involved by this point. I'll jump forward you've heard it from many times. I've shared the testimony how a man by the name of Stanley Albansky in Tarpon Springs, Florida, in the hospital with fourth stage cancer, lymphoma, Hodgkin's cancer. My wife and I were praying for him. They were monitoring him for the cancer and how far it had progressed. And they had deemed him terminal. Long story short, he entered into a machine to scan the progression of the cancer, and he had a visitation from Jesus, a literal visitation. And the cancer left his body through his eyes, and it came out in a form like honey. And the staff, this is documented, the staff watched as it took place. And when he got done, he was free of cancer. He went on to give testimony for several years. He went from church to church giving his testimony. And when he died cancer-free. I've spoken of how I prayed for a man on an island in Roatan, Honduras, with the mission ship La Gracia, and how that man was delivered from addiction and almost near death through the effects of the addiction, and before a crowd of hundreds in the square of the village, the public square, delivered and healed. I was thinking about this tonight. Pastor Chris is with us and his wife tonight and their family. And I remember when we were on Route 50 in the senior, how many remember when we were in the senior complex meeting in Scotia? And we had and promoted a healing service. And we had a call for prayer and for people to come forward that Sunday morning. Pastor Chris, you correct me if I'm wrong on this, but Pastor Chris and his wife was not with us at that point. And they were on their way to another church service, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them and told them to come to the service there. And one of the boys was sick at that time. And they came forth, and they were in the line, and they come to me, and they shared how the Holy Spirit impressed upon them and spoken to them and somehow directed them to that service instead of another service where they were headed. And we prayed for their son, and he was healed. And as a result, that family has been established and been plugged in here. I could go on and on with testimony after testimony of how God has moved miraculously. I think of a young woman that we prayed for on a Sunday service, and she was healed of a digestion issue that had plagued her for years, completely healed when we prayed for her. I think of Amy, Doug and Amy Van Nordstrom in Pastor Lance's ministry. Mark was with me on that. And the Holy Spirit moved. And I gave this expression to Mark. I says, Mark, we're going to have a baby. And we had a service. I had asked the elders to pray and fast for that service and to be available. And Doug and Amy had been working on conceiving children. And she had two forms of disease in her womb, endometriosis and PDF. Ladies, you'll probably know that well when I use those terms. She was told by the medical field that she would never carry a Bible, or excuse me, never carry a child to full birth because of that condition, let alone conceive. And they were discouraging her. And she came to me after service, and she told me what was going on, and I prayed over her, laid hands on her, and prayed for her. Her husband joined us in prayer at that moment. And long story short, he came to me at the next service that I visited out there, and he came to me, and he told me, he says, Pastor Larry, he says, I felt like Zacharias when the angel appeared to Zacharias, and he didn't believe the angel. For Elizabeth. You know the story in Luke for Christmas, the story? He says, because I was in unbelief. Well, his wife conceived. And not only did they have a baby boy, as I prophesize, but they've now had, I think, four children. And Doug is now Pastor Doug. And he's serving in a ministry near Broad Alban. I was thinking in terms of how many times God has used me to bring in and manifest miracles and exercise a gift. And I've come up with over 40 of deliverances and provisions as I've meditated on it. And most recently, and you'll remember, I'm sure you all remember this one. And for time's sake, I'm not going to go into a lot of details. But Valerie, remember Valerie Zakharuski? Fractured 3 vertebrae in her neck. Was told go home and don't do anything for 6 weeks. They'd re-examine her later. She was in excruciating knife-like pains going down her neck. Couldn't move, had her face bruised from a fall down the stairs when it happened. Prayed over her in my home at our kitchen next to our kitchen table. Laid hands on her, and God healed her completely. She went. She took her five minutes after I had prayed for her. She went into the bathroom. She had a neck brace on. She came out and took the neck brace off. And the pain was gone. Her face had turned to normal. And she didn't have any problem with mobility. And I was in unbelief at that point. Okay. And my response, because I wasn't even expecting it, if you will. Yet God did it. And there's been other answers to prayer and miraculous things that have happened, but that's probably the biggest and most recent. Well, no, I'm going to give you the most recent. Rick Riccio. We had dinner with him today and spent most of the day with him with the Bible study. Rick fell here almost 6-8 weeks ago, and he broke his humerus bone. And we prayed that they told him he's going to have an operation. It was a serious operation. They didn't want to do the operation because of his age and his diabetes and all the potential of what it could mean for him. And we prayed that he would not have to have an operation and ask God to heal him. We started to pray. They sent him back home. He was in a lot of pain. We prayed over the pain that he was experiencing. And he went back in. The doctors began to examine him. They took x-rays. And the x-rays showed that his bone has not been healing. But yet, for some reason, he started to get mobility back. And as of this week, right now, his testimony is he's almost got 80, 90% mobility with that arm. And his doctor is examining the x-rays and saying, you're not supposed to be able to do that. And the x-rays are showing that his bone's not healed. But yet he's acting normal. You figure it out. Okay, God's at work. Rick's giving testimony as to what God is doing for him. And I believe that very shortly we're going to learn that God has completely healed him, even revealing it in the x-ray. But at any rate, why did I go there with this tonight? Because, and I'll say it again, Dr. Stevens preached a series called Corporate Pentecost years ago. And he spoke of the time that would be coming as we enter into the last days in the beginning of sorrows, when the Joel 2 prophecy, which is active right now, would become intensified and intensely fulfilled in terms of the outpouring of the Spirit and what God would do as times get rough and get deeper and deeper into evil. And that is part of the expectation that I have and that I'm believing God for, because I believe God wants to manifest his presence and his power and demonstrate it more and more, because it's going to be needed in order to give the witness of who he is in this day and age that we're in. I'll close with this. Last Saturday, we went out, Pastor Moore and I went out for evangelism. Pastor Moore mentioned it in Sunday morning's message. We met a couple that are set up at the farmer's market, and we were both independently witnessing to, I was witnessing to the husband in exchange with him, and he was witnessing and talking to his wife and some others that were sitting with her. And when we got all said and done, we didn't know we were both on the same subject simultaneously, but not knowing what the other was saying or doing. And as we rejoined and began to walk away, Pastor Moore says, Larry, he says, Vashti, that's her name, has cancer and she'd like prayer. Would you be willing to pray for her? And I didn't think twice. I said, yes, sure, why not? That's what we're here for. So we went back, and I thought by the exchange that had taken place and what I knew about it, I thought we were dealing with a crowd that was in faith with us. But I realized we were in the midst of unbelievers. We were in the midst of some that were seeking and had a knowledge of God, but don't know God. And we were also in a crowd where we were just witnessing to a group that was there that was from another faith of the Islamic realm. And I began to pray over her. I laid hands on her and began to pray for her. And I prayed loud and spoke out in such a way that anybody listening had to listen. They were in earshot. But I didn't realize really what was taking place until after we walked away. Because we were God's men representing God Almighty to an unsaved world and people that needed help and healing. And we prayed for Vashti, and I asked that you pray with us. And we left them with this testimony. We're going to be looking forward and touching back with you because we believe that God is going to do something with what we just did, representing him. And I believe we're going to hear testimony of what God did for Vashti and that cancer that she's fighting, because I believe that God's going to heal her and really use that to that with that family. So I ask that you pray, and I ask you consider what I'm sharing here tonight and allow the Holy Spirit to build an expectation. And I'm looking forward to the next time I'm in the pulpit to, by faith, stand out in self-abandonment and pray and bring an exhortation to encourage faith that will receive what God wants to do, because I'm convinced this is what God wants to do. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. And I raise a hallelujah. All heaven comes to fight for me. I sing a song in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Raise a hallelujah with all that is inside of me. I raise a hallelujah, 'cause God will come and fight for me. Praise be to God tonight. I pray and I hope that you will receive what the Holy Spirit is ministering through me to you. I pray, Father, and I ask in Jesus' name for your will to be manifest. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I pray tonight for those listening that have not yet received Christ, that they may do so by praying, Dear Jesus, I need you. Dear Jesus, I need to be saved. Dear Jesus, I need to be healed. My soul needs to be healed. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me. I pray tonight, Father God, you may have free course through your Holy Spirit to manifest and do all that you are willing and desire to do as we go forward with you. And I pray that you'd bless our fellowship the remainder of the evening and all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay.